I'm gonna put your foot on the floor. I'm blessed. all down, but I got a thing covered every day above ground. Know the devil working day and night, but I look him in the eyes and you a damn lie. And I know I could've died in the nighttime. I'm still around because I hear work, not because I'm nigga. And I'm up on the doing time, got a message for you. Might be stressing now, but that's a blessing kind of point. And when they do through all the party and the nonsense, just take some time to thank God for what he done. When the partner you run with come with them negative comments trying to get you to do something, you better not follow them down as I swear, I declare, throw my power in prayer. You had no idea, God is always here.
Verse 17 of Romans chapter 4. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. The worlds were framed by faith. It was spoken. Our tongues are powerful. And it can be used for influence. It can be used to sway people. It can be used to change a person from being angry. If you know what words to say, you could talk to someone that's angry and they will end up smiling. It's how you use the tongue. The God, our Heavenly Father, he speaks and he calls those things that be not. It appears not to be. It appears to be dead. What in your life appears not to be? Is there something that you're believing for in your business, in your life, with your family, your health, anything that appears to be the opposite of what you desire? It may be your hopes and dreams. It may be your desires. So I want to speak this word to you. If it appears to be dead, watch this. It's not. You know, the tongue is so powerful, you can drink something hot and it burn your tongue. It will regenerate itself. That's how powerful the tongue is. This is not church power. This is not religious power. It is simply the power that God put in us. Believe it or not, God raises up certain people to bring about a purpose. Paul, when his name was Saul, in the book of Acts, the ninth chapter, he was knocked off of his beast. There are some people God is knocking off of their beast. They have a beast of racism. They have a beast of bigotry. They have a beast of lying. I'm going to tell you something. You're about to see something on this earth that's going to astonish you, because God can knock anybody, no matter how big, no matter how rich, he can knock anybody off of his beast. As powerful as Apostle Paul was, he got knocked off of his beast in the book of Acts, the ninth chapter. He was Saul then, and he saw a light. Light means understanding. He saw a revelation of Christ. And he was told it's hard to kick against the prick. There's some folk that's been kicking against the prick. There's going to be a revival that's going to shock the church. So verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Here it comes. Who quickeneth the dead. God can quicken you from being poor, and you can be quickened to become rich. Think about it. You can be quickened in your mind. You may have unforgiveness in your heart, but you can be quickened to forgive. I'm having a hard time forgiving. I'm having a hard time releasing this person or persons. And just ask God to quicken you. He said here in verse 17 of Romans 4, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Everything that's in your life that seems not to be, it is. It is be. Let there be a provision. Let there be. God never runs out of resources. There's a new wealth that's being released in the earth. And listen, the government can't legislate it. When God starts making people wealthy, you'll really see who's evil. Someone said, money changes you. No, correction. Money doesn't change anyone. Money reveals everyone. Think about it now. Money is not going to change you. If you broke and mean, you'll be rich and mean. If you're broke and hateful, you'll just be rich and hateful. If you're broke and selfish, you'll be, if God doesn't help, you'll be rich and selfish. If you're broke, poor, and racist, full of bigotry, hate people because they look different than you, talk different than you, as you can see, you'll be rich and full of bigotry. Money does not change anyone. What money does is reveal everyone. If you ever see a family when someone leaves, the whole family starts fighting over little stuff. Why? Because death and life, Proverbs 18 chapter, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Listen to the whole verse. And they that love it, love what? Death or life, will eat the fruit of it. Do you not know there are some people who are living but love death? Yes. There are some people who are living, breathing, looking, seeing, eating, but love death. Living but love drama. I love you so much. Do you not know if I didn't love you, I wouldn't even say it? I can't give you no junk food because you get enough of that on some Sundays. The problem with a lot of people is they want to be pampered into a purpose. They want to be babied into a purpose. That's why many pastors have become spoiled, because they had people pampering them. And so they felt like they had to pamper the same people who were pampering them. They had to pamper them back. You understand? I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. So if anybody desires to pamper you, they really are hindering you. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's spoiling you, they are hindering you from your purpose to be what God has purposed for you to be. You need somebody on earth that's going to look you eyeball to eyeball and sometimes rebuke you in love. Now, I'm not talking about beating you up now. I'm talking about correcting you no more than a parent that loves the child. All that baby stuff comes when you're first born. Oh, look at that baby. That baby's so cute. Ooh, look at them. Oh, do you see how that baby cries? Oh, we just go crazy. We go to the hospital. We look behind the glass. Oh, look at that baby. So cute. And you see that baby get up and try to take a step and fall. And say, oh, my God, didn't it fall so cute? And then after a while, that baby get one, and you're still pampering them. Then that baby get the terrible two. Baby get one, two, three, four, five, and then all of a sudden that baby begins to change. And what used to be cute, then you can't tell them anything. So you can't spoil a person into their purpose. There's some things that have to be corrected before you can properly use your mouth for your miracles. I'm going to show you a good example of this man named Moses. He's called by God to deliver a people. I want you to look at this. Here's Moses, an ordinary man. And then this man was changed into a super Moses. Do you know whoever you are? There's a super part of you. I'm prophesying to you. Somebody's going to get this and run with it. You know, they make movies, Superman, Batman, Thor, all of these fiction. But in reality, God can take a natural man and make him or her into a super person. I'm going to show you how that's done. You're going to realize there's a super part of you that's crying to be released. There's a super part of us that's saying, I want to get out. I want to be the super part of me. Say it. I want to be the super part of me. You make movies and those movies make hundreds of millions of dollars off of a fantasy and a desire for people to be great. Your greatness would never come from the outside. Your greatness would always come from the inside, because what God put in you is greater than you yourself. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than everything about you, because it's the super part of you. There's a super you on the horizon. In Exodus, Moses becomes greater than he even thought he was. Moses asked God, what should I do if these Israelites tell me to get lost? So God gave him three miracles, at first with his staff. And isn't it interesting that Moses' name means taken from water? Our birth has something in it that is a prophecy. Do you not know the way each of us was born is a prophetic event? All those seeds that wanted to get through, millions of them, millions didn't make it, but you were chosen to be born. Everybody that's born into this earth was chosen. Exodus 4, verse 1, it says this. Then Moses answered the Lord and said, what am I going to say? The Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a staff. And he said, throw it down to the ground. So Moses threw it down to the ground, and it became a living serpent. All of the things that God showed Moses that proved to Moses that he was God, he ended up needing. What is it that God's saying to you that you got to throw to the ground? There's something that's already a part of you. It's your staff. It's something you lean on. It's something you walk with. It's something you depend on. It's like crutches. You understand? You ever had a broken bone? You need that to help you until that bone heals. So first thing God says, what's in your hand? Now, I'm asking you, young man. I'm asking you, young lady, what is in your hand? God will always require what's in your hand. When he has something powerful for you to do, he will always require what's in your hand. Think about it now. God wants to know, what is it that's in your hand? What do you depend on? What are you leaning on? There's some people, your staff is unforgiveness. You need it. You lean on it. Your staff is drama. Your staff could be a spiritual thing. Some of you, God is going to change you from being a pastor because that pastoring has become your staff. It's become something that you leaned on. And that's why the same old happens, because the changing of the guards is here. But you got to have people change with the guard. There's some people that God is saying change. God will change a method. You'll be doing something one way. You know, he's the fisherman. Jesus came by night and they was fishing and toiling, wasn't catching anything. And the word came to them, cast your net on the other side. Young man, God is saying to you, cast your net on the other side. Young lady, God is saying to you, cast your net on the other side. He did me like that. And when he did it, I said, yes. God will have you change. You're tired of the side that you're on. Some people are happy when God says, switch. I'm going to use you even greater in your spiritual office, but I'm going to change the method. But hear this prophetic word. There's some people that's going to become millionaires overnight, and you're going to know them. They're going to become millionaires and billionaires seemingly overnight, and you're going to look at their lives, and you're going to say, man, God told them to change this. I was used to them being a certain way. So when God says, listen, I'm changing the method, not the man. Hear this prophetic word. There's some people that's going to become rich. It's going to seem like it's overnight, but it's really not overnight. Because when you look at their lives, it's been about 40 years of preparation. Sometimes God will prepare you where you seem to be comfortable, and then he'll change you. Sometimes God will prepare you. It will seem like he's going to keep you there. But as soon as he's ready, he'll take you from that place into another place. Some of y'all stuck in that same place year after year. Your papa was in that place. Your grandma was in that place. I love you so much. Listen, your uncle was in that place. And you've been in that place, and you think that's your earthly heaven. But God is saying, are you willing to throw down your staff? Are you willing to put it down? And the duality of your life is that which contradicts who you are. You've been church hurt. You've been mama hurt, daddy hurt, girlfriend hurt, wife hurt, husband hurt, school hurt, job hurt. You don't know how to handle hurt. I want to help you. Hurt is H-U-R-T. Hurt is human. You are that. That's hurt. Just by being born, somebody had to hurt to get you here. Adolescent will never stop, because there is a lesson to be added during your whole life. Here's Moses. God said, listen, first thing, you got to give me your staff. You got to give me something you depend on. To some of you, God is saying, give me your church. Oh, No, I've been having this church, and this church has paid off. You know, changing of the guard is not effective to everybody. Most leaders who are in churches, if God said, give me your church, they'll say what they are saying. No. Set in their ways, and they will do the same thing over and over and over. You know, one scripture says they forever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. What is the knowledge of the truth? The word says grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? By getting the knowledge of the truth. Well, that's not talking about church truth. I told you I love you, didn't I? Some of you are not progressing spiritually. There's a difference in, between growing in church, as people say, I know how to do church. How to do church doesn't get you to any spiritual death. That pinched you a little bit. Give me your staff. Give me your church. And they're saying no, because my grandma had it. My pawpaw had it. I've been this way all my life. You know what that is? It's slavery. He didn't come to die for us to remain slaves. And someone said, are you saying church is slavery? Well, there's a great part of it is. But no, I am not saying that church in and of itself. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And then he said the gates of hell will not prevail. But you know, religion took that and said, he said, upon this rock I'm going to build this tabernacle of holiness church. Upon this rock he's going to build this church of God in Christ. Upon this rock he's going to build this Baptist church. Upon this rock he's going to build this Presbyterian church. Upon this rock he's going to build Assemblies of God church. In Exodus 4, he said, listen, what do you have in your hand? Moses said, a staff. He said, then throw it to the ground. The changing of the guards is here. And being able to speak and things come to pass is here. But not everybody is going to receive this, because some people are not willing to throw their staff down to the ground. And so Moses threw it on the ground. Verse 1, when he threw it on the ground, it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. When God tells you to throw your beloved staff on the ground, you're going to run from it. Man, when God showed me the change, I wanted to run from it. I released myself and yield myself to God. I didn't tell nobody. I didn't even say to my Queen Katrina, I wanted to run. But knowing the nature that God put in me, I said the nevertheless prayer. Until you can say nevertheless, you would never allow yourself to be less, to be what God is calling you to be. That's your personal altar call, nation. I'm speaking to the world. Throw your staff down. When you throw it down, it'll come alive. Some stuff that you're trying to do won't come alive until you throw it down. When Moses threw that staff down, it became a serpent, a living, breathing serpent. And then God said to Moses, reach out your hand and grab it by the tail. Only God knows the season of this. When he tells you to throw your staff down, when he tells you to throw that thing you're depending upon so much, he's going to tell you pick it up by the tail. He's not going to tell you pick it up by the head. You know why? Because if you pick it up by the head, then you're going to want to be in charge of it. He made us the head but not the tail. Watch this. But he told Moses, get the tail. God will put you on the tail end of something to make you the head. God says to Moses, throw your staff down. It became a serpent. And then God said to Moses, reach out with your hand and grasp it by the tail. And so Moses did that. He caught it. And it became a staff in his hand. I had to understand what I was trying to make a staff, God was trying to make a serpent. And when you allow God to make a serpent a symbol of your deliverance and what you're called to do, the fivefold ministry is not what we're called to do. It's what we're chosen to be while we're doing what we're called to do. Get it now. So when Moses grabbed that serpent, it became a staff. It became the very thing that he threw down. If you're not willing to throw down your staff, you will never be the deliverer that God has called you to be. I love you. I don't care if you're bishop. I don't care if you're 30,000 people every Sunday. If you're not willing to give God that which you depend upon and that which you think identified your calling, it will never resurrect. Because the staff is dead. And when he threw it down, it came alive. But when it came alive, Moses didn't even know that which he carried, something that kept him secure. Some of you are holding something and you think it's you. There's some men, as long as you got a nice car and you got a building called church, you feel secure. That's sad, isn't it? But that's true. And you spend your whole life, God forbid, and leave here holding your staff. Now, look at what God said to him. After Moses obeyed, he said, you shall do this so the people would believe that I sent you and that I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I'm the God that appeared to Moses. His name can be in there too. Now watch this. Then the Lord said to Moses, put your hand into your robe, the place right on your chest. And so Moses did that. And when he took it out, his hand was leprous. It was white as snow. It didn't go in white. You got heavy ears to hear that. But it came out white. Then God said, put your hand into your robe again. So he did that. And when he took it out, his hand was restored like the rest of his body. That means his whole body was dark. He said, if they would not believe you or pay attention to you or to the evidence of the first sign, they may believe the evidence of the second sign. But if they would not believe the first two signs and pay attention to you, he said, Moses, now take some water from this Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you take out of the river will turn into blood on the dry ground. You know what Moses said? He said, please, Lord, I am not a man of words. I'm not eloquent. I'm not fluent. I can't speak too well. Possibly he might have stuttered, for I am slow of speech. He's telling you.
This is bitches do be down. I see some. So I'm going to have my meal. Baby, this looks good.
Thank you, Bishop.
I see you got my fish. You got my... Wait a minute. I see my greens, but I don't see any cornbread. You can't have greens without cornbread. Satan is coming against me. I bind that spirit. Oh, so you didn't give me no cornbread. It ain't green without no cornbread. It ain't green without no cornbread. I'm trying to tell her. Listen, the Bible said wife be something to your husband, did it? Well, she got some cornbread. I'm sorry, baby. Well, you should have brought it with my meal. It ain't green without no cornbread. This is Bishop Doobie Down.
This is Bishop Doobie Down. Got a prescription for y'all. Laughter is like a medicine in the baby. You know it is.
I tell you what, y'all better get out there and go catch that egg thief. I'm telling you, he's been coming here to this here town for a long time, and we're about to catch him. Now, I'm the sheriff of this here town, and everybody know my name, which is, I tell you what, and I do tell you what, we're gonna catch that egg thief, and we're gonna bring him back to this town. And he gonna go on trial. And he gonna be found guilty. And I tell you what, I'm the sheriff of this town. And I be darned. And we gonna keep putting up with this egg thief. Stealing eggs from our chickens. This farm is for this community. And I tell you what, you better get out there and y'all better get him. And I mean, you better bring them back here. I'm going to hang them dry. You go to a town where they hide that thief and his men. You tell them, Sheriff, I tell you what, sent us to bring them back. Now get.
Looks like we made it, boys.
Hello, welcome to the Chevy London Show. Thank you for joining us.
Today I have a very special guest. I have a privilege. I've heard so much about this lovely woman. Her name is Missionary Tasha. Now, she is so phenomenal, right? She is a woman of God, and I hear so much about her, and now I want to introduce to you all this woman of God, Missionary Tasha. Welcome, and thank you so much again for joining me today. How are you?
I'm great. Well, thank you, baby. Thank you for having me. I'm just happy to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Bless the Lord.
Feel in the spirit, people. I've heard so much about you.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you on social media, and you've come into contact, I hear, with a guy, a bishop.
Yeah.
At this one church, I met him one day at the park, right, when I first got here to America. And I saw him, and he was studying the word.
Yeah.
And he said that he comes there often to minister.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about you and your ministry and how you come to meet the Bishop Doobie Down?
Well, sure. I don't mind doing that. God is good today.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Thank you. Well, you know, it started out a long time ago when I was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I said an infant, thrown down to a fetus. You know, I was traveling, see, as a missionary. I knew I was on a mission then.
Oh.
It took 9 months
to
get here. And during the process, you know, I went through a lot of different things, struggles and pain and travail. And, you know, I just remember being in my mama's womb. And like I said, it took 9 months to get here as a missionary.
Oh, my God.
And so I'm here now.
Yes.
And as I grew up, I knew I was a missionary. I'm on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I go where God tells me to, hey, go.
Oh, my God.
And sometimes it gets airy, so I'm a missionary. It gets airy.
Oh, my God.
The road. And so on that road,
uh-huh.
You know, I'm walking.
Yeah.
I remember the Lord let me run into a bishop because I was like, Lord, I need a leader to lead me and teach me this way.
Yes.
And I ran into the bishop. Ring.
God, you...
The devil is alive, okay, because it's hard for me to bend sometimes.
Okay.
The ring fell on the floor.
Okay.
But anyway, I ran into the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord, the servant of God, he taught me some things.
Oh, my God.
And I began to know who I was on this mission.
Yes.
And it was airing again on the road to him. Because I was going, you know, in the spring, summer, winter, and fall. I was walking. I don't have a car.
Okay.
And it was airing.
Yeah.
So that's when I knew that I was a missionary. Hey, go, hey.
You see?
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God.
I knew it. And the bishop, he shared with me his ministry and his testimonies that the Lord had brought him through. And that encouraged me to stay on this mission.
My
no matter how airy it is.
Oh, my God.
I'm on it. I'm on it for life.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah. And
my
see,
God.
The bishop is a powerful man of God.
Yes.
And he has shown me how to walk and talk and preach in this narrow way.
I do want to let everyone know that come February 17th, 2023, we're almost there, you all. Missionary Tasha will be at the Elite in Kokomo, Indiana. With the Bishop Doobie Down, with Yanos, Thessia, it's going to be an extravagant place. I'm so happy that, you know, I've already bought my tickets because I can't wait. Hey, let's go to RodrickOwensby.com. Get those tickets. Pick up those tickets. Or you can go to Eventbrite.com and search Roderick Owensby. You will find out that February 17th. 2023 in Kokomo, Indiana. It's going to be a blessed event with Bishop Doobie Down and friends.
Yes.
Missionary Tasha will be there
with
a host of others. It's a pleasure. See you next time.
Radio.
You are
sovereign. You're greater than being in control. You are sovereign because you own everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Now, I'm Roderick, and this is Prophecy Alive. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in. I want to encourage everyone tonight. We're going to deal with judge not. And so many people are hurting from the judgment that they received, even from a child. Counsel so many people that are dealing with issues and emotions that they can't figure out and having issues with their parents and relationships. And I want to share with you some things, and I want you to feel free to call in at any time, 515-602-9740, and you press 1 and you can share. And I believe tonight there's going to be some things that are said that will cause fear to run from you and to cause the enemy that comes in, and he will flee 7 different ways in areas of money, health, strength, emotions, regardless of what you're dealing with. I know that God hears us when we pray. I read here, it's by Jay Mason. It says, judge thyself with the judgment of sincerity, and you will judge others with the judgment of love. Look at the response of judging yourself and being open with who you are. You know, there's one person none of us can fool, is ourselves. Most of the time, people live a certain way, and some call it put on a mask. It's deeper than a mask. It's putting on another side to your spirit. It's just like the saying that money will change you. It reveals what we have inside of us. The mask is only a different side to who we are, or who we hide from others. No condemnation. I believe that God is setting people free from themselves. So many times we run from others and things we hate in others, and we run from situations, and there are situations that you should stay away and you should shun. But understand this. I'm only at war with Roderick. I'm only in competition with Roderick. I don't seek to compete with anyone else, not a preacher, not a prophet, Lord God, not a prophet, not an apostle, not an evangelist, not a pastor or a teacher or a businessman, musician, regardless. I do not believe in competing with anyone but me, because I am my greatest opposition. Now, I'm using myself, but I want you to get delivered from what I'm saying if you need it. I know I need deliverance, and I seek the deliverer every day. If we don't need deliverance, then we don't have to pray anymore. The word says the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. What are part of our infirmities? We don't know what we should pray. Mm-mm. But the Holy Spirit, it helps us and it prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So many people are in pain through judgment. I have a caller. I'm going to come to you right now on Prophecy Alive. God bless you.
Good evening.
Blessings
to you.
How
are you?
God is so good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
What's in your spirit? Go ahead and feel free.
I was looking so forward to being on the call tonight. I just thank God that, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the peace of God is what we need. And we all have to do whatever it takes to get there. Forsaking everybody in some instances to get there. Because the enemy just wants us to show out and get out of character. And we don't have time. Too much going on in the earth right now. We've got to stay strong and be able to hear the voice of the Lord. And we can't do that when we've got all kind of foolishness going on in our minds, you know.
Come on.
It's too much. And when I looked and saw what you were going to be speaking on, I was like, oh, yes, Jesus, please let me be on there tonight. Because I've been working a whole lot, and it's, you know, it's just a lot going on in the family and trying to work between two houses and deal with minor children and grown children and also trying to make sure I get my time in with the Lord and also take care of the knee. So, and in school and everything. I mean, it's a lot going on. But I'm just glad to be on the broadcast tonight and look forward to hearing the word.
Regardless of what's happening and what's going on, your energy, your spirit, the peace of God, it rules when we allow it to rule. And the peace of God is unusual. It passes what? Our understanding
all
of
understanding.
It.
Come on.
Every bit. Sometimes I have been angry and that peace will come in. I'm like, where you come from?
I was just going to say, you're so right, because I was really angry. And the person was my mom and she's frustrated. And so, you know, I always try to, number one, reflect. I understand. I try to take into consideration she's older than I. She's more wiser than I am. But she's still a human being, and but so am I. When I've had a hard day and there's a lot going on, the enemy know how to push buttons, and he don't care who he is. But this is something that, you know, been happening repeatedly. And mama's just not anybody that I can just say, now, you know you're wrong. I wish
that's
I could,
right.
But I can't. I'm not there.
So
I just, you know, hung up the phone, but I was very upset. I didn't cry because normally I would cry when that happens, but I didn't cry. I was angry, but I just said, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to let that. That's the devil. I always know everything coming from every direction. The enemy is pushing for something. I'm not falling into the trap. He's a lie from hell. I don't have time for that. So I know I had to get myself back in the right posture. And then I looked at the time and I said, ooh, getting on Prophecy Alive tonight. And I was excited without even, you know, really knowing what you were going to teach about. And so I went online and looked. I said, oh, yeah, this is what I needed to be on here for. Yes, so I'm going to be there. So grateful, because I kind of understand where she's at. But at the same time, you know what? I don't want to make any excuses. We all have to stand
mm-hmm.
and be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be accountable for is my response. So
that's
where
good.
I'm at.
That's good.
You know? Yeah, I said some stuff out loud to the Lord. I did, because I was mad. But he knows where I'm at, and so I'm being honest about it. And I honestly didn't do anything wrong. But I just asked
yeah.
him to help me with my anger, because I was upset when something just keeps happening all the time. It's, you know, we can go there. But I don't want to go there. I choose not to. So, nope, not tonight.
You know, prayer is something. On Prophecy Alive, God would have people such as yourself that were called in the beginning of the broadcast. And it's, I want you to know, it's a divine appointment. One lady called and she began to just pour her heart out. And I said, can you stay with me? And it was an awesome broadcast. She was ready to go off on her kinsmen. You see, listen, the devil is in many ways boring. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. Hear me. Because he doesn't invent anything new.
Amen.
He has the same strategy over and over again. Why am I saying this? Simply because if you look at the word in family, that anger touches us all. Because there's some things that are done and we like, why? You know, that's a big question in families. And somebody's listening to us, me and my covenant sister and family, you may be dealing with anger, but I want you to look at that word, A-N-G-E-R. Take that R and put it in front of the A, range. You know, the enemy will shorten your range through anger. Anger is self-defeating. And that's why the scripture says, be angry, but sin not. I love it.
Amen.
I love that permission. Because you know what? You haven't prayed until you snapped on God. Oh, please.
Come on.
See, them nice prayers, that ain't going to get you too far. And I'm going to tell you something about God. He really wants you to go off. Oh, somebody going to get deliverance. He really wants you to snap on him. You said, well, I don't ask God questions. Well, let me tell you something. I asked my father the question. asked my mother questions. Mm-hmm. I asked people who I looked up to questions. Do you mm-hmm. not know there is no scripture that tells you not to ask him questions?
Thank you. Thank you.
No
you,
scripture.
You put me in the remembrance of a movie I just recently watched called Discarded Things. And the woman was crying out to God, and she was angry. And she said, what do you want of me? You've taken everything from me. What do you want? Oh, my God.
Mm.
I just sat there in awe because he's our Heavenly Father. And if we can't ask him a question, who can we ask?
Come on.
Who is just going to give us a righteous answer? And sometimes he won't answer, but that's because he wants you to sit and think about some things.
Talk.
But he'll come back to you, and it might not be what you want to hear, but it's what's real. And so that's why I'm grateful. Yes, I did. I did cry out to him. I screamed out to him. I'm tired of this. I'm very tired of this.
That's real prayer.
Hmm.
Authentic.
That's why
prayer.
David was. Come on now. You know David
yes.
did it, right?
And you know what I love about David? I know you love the same thing. David was honest and he was transparent.
Honest
he
hid
not nothing from God. You see, because religion teaches us to not be transparent. Because religion teaches many to impress others.
That's right.
There are some people in religion, they judge their own relationship with God by somebody else's relationship. See, this is what calls judgment. Judgment comes in the body of Christ because we measure ourselves by others. Watch Matthew 7:1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged.
Mm-hmm.
Judge not, lest you be judged. The reason God does that is when we judge others, it's a reaction from the inside of our own view of ourselves. Now watch this. And then he says in verse 2, watch him. He said, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged with the measure you use to judge someone else. God says, listen, you're baking a cake, right? You use a certain measurement. Now, you know, us folk, we don't use, you know, all that stuff. We cook from scratch. You know, have you ever judged somebody from scratch? You ever judge a situation? You can't judge anybody else but by your own measure of yourself. It's impossible for me to judge you without judging myself because I have nothing else to judge you by. It's like God had nothing else to create the world by but himself. Since he made everything out from himself. That's why he said,
mm-hmm.
let there be.
Mm-hmm.
You know why he said, let there be? Because it was in him.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm.
This is what God said. I created good, created
mm-hmm.
evil.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because
mm-hmm.
good and evil is even in God.
That's right. That's
he
right.
said, I own it all. That's why the scripture says this. I love this, sister. It says this. He that is spiritual, him or her, judgeth all things. And yet, he can withstand judgment. He himself cannot be judged. The reason judgment is so sacred is because in judgment, the evil twin to judgment is condemnation. And this is why the great schoolmaster, the commandments, God said, Moses, get these people from bondage because I got to school them. How? I got to reveal what's in them. Because we can never attain what God says without judging ourselves by God's judgment. Now, listen to this close now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the school master, ladies and gentlemen, is the commandment. Thou shall not. Apostle Paul said, I didn't know what covetousness was until God told me. You see, when Roger was a little boy, Mama said, stay out the cookie jar. I became curious.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I got
That's
to stay
it.
Out of this cookie jar. First of all, you my mama. Bear looking cookie jars in the house. I'm in the house. I'm your son. So when you're not looking, I got to see what you told me not to touch. And this is why condemnation is so big. This is why lying from the government to the church house. This is why all this mess and chaos is alive, because people are judging constantly others. This is where we get bigotry from. This is where we get racism from. This is where we get strife in the body of Christ, because people are in a constant judgment of others because it's a self-reflection on themselves. I can't accept a homosexual. Uh-oh, I got to look at what they're doing. I can't accept this woman that's been divorced or this man that's been divorced because I got a judgment. Let me tell you why judgment is dangerous. Because God fixed it so. I love it. I love it. This excites me because he put heaven and hell. Here it goes. He put heaven and hell upon us. Roger, I know you're crazy, but what are you saying? God will let you make your own heaven and hell through your own judgment. Here's the Pharisee in the public. The Pharisee. He said, I fast. I give tithe. I'm this and I'm that. And then he said, I'm not like this public. Watch this. He approved himself, and then he said, I'm not like this fellow over here. The publican, the scripture says, smote himself on his breast and said, have mercy upon me, a sinner. You know who pleased God? The honest fellow. The fellow that had an inner reflection of himself. And he knew he wasn't worthy even to kneel. He said, God, have mercy upon me, a servant. And that man went away, and he was fulfilled because he was honest. Look at this. Why do you try to get the speck, the mote, out of your brother's eye, and you don't pay attention to the plank that's in your own eye? That's why judgment begins at the house of God, because if you want a guilty verdict, go to church. Go to church. If you want to be looked at, if you got any struggles, if you want to be judged, go to church. Are you saying don't go? No. Don't forsake the assembly yourself. But watch this. You're going to be judged. The judgment issue is going to be the issue that's going to draw the line in the sand. You better hear this. How can you say to your brother, let me take this sin out of you? Let me cleanse you. Let me do something that'll make you look better than what you look like now. And the word calls that person a hypocrite. A hypocrite because you won't take the time to deal with your own issues. And then you can't really see the issues of another person clearly. Hear this. Unless you see yours clearly. We can see ours clearly by the Holy Spirit, period.
That's good teaching, sir. Everything. You hit it all. Yes, 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 yes. And a lot of times the person that is either deceived or not wanting to hear the truth, they'll hear it for somebody else. But you hit it right on the head. We can't judge somebody else without judging ourselves. And a lot of times if you would take the time to even look at or even dissect or break down what's really going on, you'll find out that it's something in you. Our response tells the story. This is good teaching. I'm liking it.
A true prophet loves to be ministered to. Now, I don't know where these other fellas come from, you know, because
yes,
Roger don't have all the answers. You said when we judge others, you said our response
tells
the story.
At the beginning, you said we can't lie to anybody, especially ourselves. If we're honest with ourselves, there are things that God has been trying to get us to do or get us to see, and because of our own stubbornness or whatever, we don't do it. But we're quick to see what's wrong in somebody else or what someone else has done, and we can run to them or we can go to them and tell them about their wrong. The Lord's been dealing with me now for 2 years where he's put me in a place of just watching, listening, and praying. And I kept hearing, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's very easy to get upset. Yes, we can get angry and we can get upset about things people do. My prayer is always, Lord, let me see people the way you see them. Let me love them the way you love them. And when I'm ready to go off or ready to say something, it reminds me of that. Because anybody can go all foolish and cut people out and say whatever, but the bigger picture is I see something in me, in you. Because of the grace of God, he has been so merciful. And instead of him allowing me to just die where I was, whether it was attitude, whether it was sin, whether it was whatever I was doing, he didn't. He still kept pursuing me. This is a better way, Jaleel. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm calling you to me. Yes, it would break me down, but I can remember so clearly all the days that I would say, Lord, why? Why come you just didn't let me go? And all I could hear was love, because he loves me. The reason why I know that God is saying, judge not, lest ye be judged, the same measure. We can't have mercy and compassion for other people. How do we dare ask God to have mercy? Same way with forgiveness. Forgive, we won't be forgiven. Those are spiritual principles that have to happen to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. I used to make comments like, you know, how can you judge me or whatever? And it's real easy for people to just fly out things. Only God is. He created each one of us. He knows what's inside of us. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, how long it's going to take. And he has been, he said that earlier too, he did what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it. And when he created each one of us, like you said, when he said, let there be, he knew the specific purpose for why he wanted Janice to come to this earth. And all he's been doing is trying to get me to line up. We try to get our own purpose in there. We figure out the career we want. His purpose is going to still go forth. It's going to still happen. A lot of times it's delayed, but it's because of rebellion. Some of us have been raised in homes where all we knew was God. But I've come to find out what we knew about God. What are kingdom principles being brought forth?
Love, hope, radio.
I may be on this for a couple of broadcasts because I'm not just talking to church folk because I'm not sent for church folk. I'm sent for empty vessels. Now, if you're a church person and you are empty, then the God in me can help you. But if you're already full, then you just be full with your full self. But I'm borrowing empty vessels because empty vessels can be used of God. People that don't have a hunger for him, you can't be helped unless you get a hunger. I love you, but facts. Judgment affects your prayers more than anything else. Please hear this. Judging others will hinder your prayer more than anything else. Just as great as sin.
Amen. That's right.
It, because when you judge others, you don't already sentence yourself. Now watch this. I want to read something. Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein. Now watch this. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, verse 10, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Now, watch this. He deals with circumcision. Apostle Paul is telling the people, you're not saved because you're men, because you had your foreskin severed. You're not saved because of those rudiments. It's not of works. There's a portion of the body of Christ that says, well, let's go back to the Ten Commandments because we felt safer, because we had assurance of the judgment that we were right. And now if you drag the people back to thou shall not, listen, that's like you done went to Harvard, but you got to go back to kindergarten. So what do you do? Talk to me, Roger. What do I do? I want to live right. I'm trying to live right. I'm listening to the preacher every Sunday. Some people are hearing you're hell bound. If you don't do this, you're going to hell. Some people are hearing this and that, what do I do? First of all, if you're going to go back to the thou shalt not, now you're going to bring in the foundation of repentance unto dead works. I got to say that again. If you go back to the thou shalt not, now you're going to lay the cement again to the house that's already been built. It's like you done built your house, but now you're going to just tear it down and redo the foundation. Well, if you'd have listened to God first, come on, pastors, if you'd have built it according to Christ's plan, then you wouldn't have a cement problem, a foundation problem. And when people try to command God or live by the commandment, you're living by that which is nothing but school. We needed it at a time. But when we mature, because it's honor. The word said marriage is honor. For some of you men, I want my wife to obey me. You see, you done drove her crazy. But the word says marriage is honorable. It didn't say marriage was about obedience. It didn't say marriage was about a woman submitting to her husband. It said marriage is honorable. So when we honor God, watch this. We don't need, once we mature, we don't need the schoolmaster, because now we're walking in honor. Christ sat on a well. Here's a woman thirsty and didn't know it. Some of you are thirsty and you don't know it. You're thirsty for God and you don't even know it because you're trying to fulfill it by carnal things. So judgment causes us to miss God. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with the judgment ye will be judged with the same judgment. And what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now watch this, verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's or sister's eye, but consider it? He said, now, don't listen, you ain't got to pull yours out, but consider it first. Judgment keeps you from considering yourself. Judgment of others keep you from even taking the time to look at your own failures. Because when you look at your failures, you're going to be nicer to the one that fails. What makes marriage work? Not judging each other. Uh-oh. Because we took our judgment. Come on, married woman, married man. Listen, our marriage works because we don't hold judgment as a captive. As a prisoner in our marriage. Got a guest for dinner and his judgment sitting there. It's like, when is it going to be my turn? That judgment is a spirit. That's why mercy supersedes judgment. You can't not have mercy judging. Here's the woman. The scripture calls him the judge, an unjust judge. Judgment is unjust, watch this, in nature. That's why you get somebody to have a little reefer, and then they get a lot of time in prison, and then they legalize it and leave them in prison. Oh, God help me. He said the saints going to judge the world. You notice he didn't say the believers?
That's what he said.
You notice that? He didn't say the preachers. He said saints. Now, I'm going to say something, and you all can study it. Saints have gone on.
Tell the truth.
The cloud of witnesses. Those are saints. Remember the song? When the saints go marching in, and then the church folks said, Lord, I want to be in that number, because they knew the saints done marched in. I'm telling you.
We want you more than anything.
that amazing?
That is amazing. The greatest emotion of them all showed up. That's
that
the
something?
Approval of God. It conquers all fear.
I love
and
what
love
you're saying.
Cast out every fear there is. And that's wonderful. I am excited. Thank you, Lord. We are excited about God.
Yes, we are. Honey, speak on this emotion and talk about this to the people, what emotions and how the enemy can try to destroy through emotions and then the good side of this. Go ahead, baby.
Well, we know that emotions can hinder and it can stagnate a person. He can't move forward, and it'll hinder those that are around him or her, because when a person is connected with someone who loves them, the people who love them only want to see them better, and it becomes a job or a task for those other people to just try to get the person with the fear and all the doubt and things like that just to wake up, because fear causes you to be in a state of sleep almost. It's like you can't move, you can't rise above, and there's a question in your mind all the time of what has happened to me and where have I gone and how did I get here and, you know, just all those things. And then you're constantly, it's like you're a hamster on a hamster wheel, always running in circles trying to get back to where you were. And the thing is, as I was just saying that, trying to get back to where you were, you never need to get back to where you were, because when you look back, God has no pleasure in you. When you get off of that wheel of psychosis and all of these crazy emotions, you know, then you can really walk in the light of God, which in the love of God, which will cast away all those fears, those doubts, those emotions that keeps a person in that same spot or that same place. It's like the children of Israel walked around the wilderness for all those years, Moses going to get the people, let my people go. And then, you know, Noah was preaching 120 years, the same thing over and over again. But when you're afraid of believing in something that just could not, it's just like, this can't be real. It's too good to be true. That's the psychosis of not believing.
That's good.
Fear is not believing. You're too afraid to believe that something good can happen. Too afraid to take a step into a direction that you've never been in, or something good comes into you. This is too good to be true. When we say that we believe in God, nothing is too good to be true, because God is. And when we believe, we can't come to him unless we first believe that he is. And not only that he is, but that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. To diligently to seek him, we have to go beyond the fear. Because I remember I was thinking this. You know, there's a statement that says, you know, you go beyond the glass ceiling. I remember I was thinking, it was like, why can't I just get past, you know, you go so far and then you stop, okay? You can push, or like you go to a plateau in weight loss. There's always a plateau in something in life that you have to push through to get to the climax.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get to the climax. And if you can't push through to get to that climax, things don't burst out until that climax is pushed through. And then you stiffen up. You're like, oh, I'm so stiff. You can't even get to that climax because you're stiff. So when we release it, that stiffness is fear. When we release ourselves and just say, by faith, I'm taking this. I'm accepting this. I'm a walk. I'm a seek him. By faith, then we can get to where he is. But we can't do that when we tighten up and fear up. We can't get past the glass ceiling. A word that comes to my mind, carpe diem, seize the moment. We have moments every day of our lives to seize, but we never get to that place because of fear. I look back, and you said something earlier, generational habits. We've been so programmed on generational curses, but generational habits we refuse to break. You know, the emotions of speaking in tongue, and that's a God-given gift. I'm not bashing that. I'm not talking against that. However, we want to go through the emotionalism of stating that we pray in order to get to the next level instead of just saying, I'm going to break these habits. I'm going to turn from my wicked ways so that I can hear from heaven. I'm not going to harden my heart so that I can hear God. And
that's
see,
good.
And that's one of the things that I'm so learning this, because I remember meeting a woman, an elder woman, who told me that this was before I met you, I believe. God has sent her out of the four walls of the church, and that she had met God more by being at home than in the four walls of the church. So I listened to her because, you know, I'm just listening. I'm a youth in this, a babe in Christ at the time. And I'm just like, I wanted to know, what was she talking about? And then as what you were ministering on today about people who have been in a church realm and they are not getting it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm seeing what that mother was talking about. Because
yes.
a lot of times in the church realm, we don't experience God. We experience habits. We experience repeating things over and over, repetition emotions, repetitious lifestyles, and we miss out on God because of the cliques and things. And that's where it's
mm-hmm.
so important that we have a true relationship with the Father ourselves. I remember one time I was in, you and I have went to a meeting, church meeting, and we had gone, and the Spirit of God was in there so high. And I found myself with my face to the wall. And I've been since noticing that with me, my life in prayer or just worshiping, I go to the wall with my face to the wall. And it reminded me of Isaiah, when Isaiah had gone to tell Hezekiah that he's about to die. And he put his face to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophet was sent back to him and told him that God had heard him and that his life was restored 15 more years.
See there.
So when we go to God, no matter who's around, we've heard of the closet, we've heard of all of these things, but when we go to God, not a fictitious God, but who he is, the God of, as you're ministering, the God of you, you know,
mm-hmm.
God of you will really, he will begin to interact with you about you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you know, I'm hearing the Spirit of God, but I wasn't hearing the Spirit of God about anyone else. I was hearing the Spirit of God talk to me about me and the things that I needed to work on.
That's good.
I was surrounded with people who were prophesying to others, and I was like, why am I not prophesying to others? Why? Because God was talking to me about me, Katrina. These are some things that need to be fixed up. These are some things that need to be worked on. These are some things that need to be addressed. And I'm so grateful that God, you know, his love is so great that he would deal with us. And I'm just grateful for that.
Honey, as you were talking, you made me think about Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it says, "For as much then as the children are flesh and blood, he," meaning Christ, "also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Verse 15 says, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Ocean without boundaries is dangerous.
Yes.
Tsunami, dangerous. Our emotions are not meant to dictate to us, and this is how the enemy does. He wants our emotions to dictate to us, but our emotions was meant to report to us or give us an indication of what is happening, where we are. It's not meant to be our guide. The Holy Spirit is meant to be our guide. Well, baby, I think it's wonderful.
Yes, it's a wonderful broadcast.
We love the people, and until next time.
We love you, 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 we love together, family. Come on.
Ever had a sorrowful spirit and people thought something was wrong with you? Hannah said, I'm not drunk. I'm sorrowful. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken. And Eli answered and said, go in peace. You that have been in a place of confusion, go in peace. There's an odd miracle coming. It's here. You've been waiting on it. You've been praying. You've been begging God to loose this for you. I don't feel like I can wait any longer. Year after year, are your prayers being poured out of your soul? You keep it poured out before the Lord. Anything that's poured out before the Lord, he puts his approval on it, and then he blesses it. You're waiting on this and you're waiting on that. You're waiting on a healing. You're waiting on a miracle. You're waiting on a resurrection. Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee the petition that you have asked of him. I speak right now by the inspiration of God, and I decree in the name of Yahweh, get ready for more than a breakthrough of bringing forth. Grant it.